Maybe we should just continue to sing. I don't know if we need. I mean, that's enough to be mechazik ourselves for the yontif. Schus to everyone here. Schus. A lot of the chevra that Mamish just got back this week, even. All of us, hopefully, were only here temporarily. Some of us have tickets back. Baruch Hashem. And the rest of us will be bekamfi nisharim, Bezal Hashem. Wherever we are, we have to prepare for the Heil Giyantav Abba Leilu Taiva. Mirtz Hashem, if you think about it, Mamish, it's a pachad. At this point tomorrow night, we'll be sitting at our Seder. Before we begin, I just want to give a karsa tov to Zev Daniel. You know, tonight, vada we're going to have shir. That wasn't part of the cheshbon. We don't not have shir if it's a Thursday night, if I'm in this country. Or wherever I am, I mean, we're going to have shir on a Thursday night, on Erev Shabbos Kodesh. But, based, you know, Erev Pesach, whatever, the probability is we weren't going to have really any oichel, any food situation. But Zev Daniel, in a long line of Solomons, you know, starting with the Chassan Shmuel, Baruch Hashem, big mazel tov to the Chassan, looking forward to him in Brook, to build the Beis Yisrael, Mali Simcha, Mali Bracha, then Tav Mari and Azav Daniel. So we appreciate the Kogel that the Gashmi should be elevated to Ruchnius and should be a tzchus for your beautiful family. Mamish, like we said before, Mamish, tomorrow night at this time we'll be at our Seder. Like Malachim. It's one of the reasons we were a Kittel at the Seder. Mamish, like a Malach. You know, there's a very famous Targum Yonison ben Aziel. Many of the chevra know the Targum Yonison that says, Lel Pesach, when we're in Mitzrayim, Kadosh Baruch Hu lifted up all the Yidden and brought them mamish to Arabayis to be able to bring their Karban Pesach and to eat their Karban Pesach in Shalayim Mir HaKodesh. I was thinking about it earlier today. Kadosh Baruch Hu was trying to give chizik to the Yidden and Chutz Laaretz. Say, Lel Pesach, wherever you are, you're in Yishlayim Erech Kodesh. Lel Pesach, wherever you are, you're by Harabayas. So tomorrow night, wherever we are, close your eyes and recognize, for those moments at least, for those moments, we're in Geula. For those moments, we're in Yishlayim Erech Kodesh. We have to carry that with us, Bez Hashem. So Chaver Pesach, of all the Yom Tovim, we focus on Cheres, we focus on freedom. And to be honest, really, many of the Yom Tovim should be a focus on Cheres. Chanukah was a Cheres, was a Geula. Purim was a Cheres, was a Geula. But of all the Yom Tovim that we really focus on, the concept of Cheres, of freedom, it's Pesach. But it's hard for us to relate to Cheres. It's very hard for us to relate to Cheres. If we're honest with ourselves, it's very hard to relate. And the reason it's hard to relate is because all we know is Cheres. All we know is freedom. Baruch Hashem, none of us know what it is to be persecuted. None of us know what it is to be an eved, to be a slave, to be a servant, to be subservient to another nation. None of us knew what it was. As much as we've heard about and read about, and some of us just visited a few days ago, the Mekoymos in Europe, Mekoymos Kedoshim, and we might hear from grandparents and great-grandparents, but as much as we hear, and as much as we read, it's only a tipa bayam. It's a drop in the ocean of understanding what it was to not be free. And if you have never experienced a lack of freedom, how can we really deeply appreciate freedom? We have no contrast. We don't even know what it means not to be free. Okay, maybe we've had some run-ins over the years. Over the years, I know personally, I've had a few momentary run-ins. I remember years ago. Sorry, many years ago. I took a chevra. It was late one night. It was probably like 1, 2 in the morning. You know, but in Israel, that's not late. It just is. Because you're lemalam in Azman. So we were, it was probably 1, 2 in the morning. We were in the old city. And I said, you know what, let's go. You know, we're always here davening by Kaisel, which is tremendous. Let's go daven a little closer. Let's go daven by the gates of Har Habayis. This is an idea I had. I said, let's go daven gates of Har Habayis. So we go, you know, leave the Kaisal area, into the, you just go a few feet into the Muslim quarter over there, you know, at the bottom of the steps of Nativ over there, and you go just literally a few hundred feet in, and then there's this big alleyway where during the day it's like full of the Arabs selling things, whatever. Here, there's not a person, there's not a soul there, 1-2 in the morning, there's nothing. There's not a soul there. And we walk all the way to the gates, to the green gates. A lot of the Chevra knows what I'm talking about. Chevra's been there. Maybe some of us have actually gone for Akafos over there. It's something incredible. If you've ever gone with Rav Kahana Shul from the Young Israel of the Muslim Quarter, that those are experiences of a lifetime I've had. Any of the Chevra have done that? No? Okay. Simchas Torah will be, Bez Hashem. So we go, it was probably, I don't know, maybe I had five or six other individuals, and we're there, and I say we're going to daven, we're going to say some tillim, and we start saying tillim, in the middle of the first kapitel, we're mamish up, we walk up like the steps, right by the green gate, mamish the first, middle of the first kapitel, we're saying, we're just davening, you know, steps from Har Habayis, a little bit closer. And we start here screaming and yelling and see like four or five men running at us from the opening. I remember the pachad mamish, my heart fell to the ground. It's a nace, I didn't faint. But then they got close, when they started getting closer, you realized it was Israeli soldiers running at us. But they were still screaming and yelling and running at us. You know, in the quick Hebrew, I don't understand a word they're saying, you know. And they get close to us, they start screaming at us, and I'm like, okay, slow down, I want to try to catch what this looks. And they were not allowed to be there. I really didn't understand. I honestly didn't know that it's illegal to be there. I know, unfortunately, we're still in a door where you're not allowed to daven on Har Habayis. We weren't on Har Habayis, we're by the gates. They're screaming, yelling, they're asking for our passports, for this. Whatever, eventually we talked our way out of it. But I remember that those moments when they started running at us. I'll never forget those moments. Like, it was scary. You didn't feel cheres. For those moments, you didn't feel cheres, and it was like a geula when it was over. You know, it was actually that mamish feet from there was one of the other times that I felt that. It was also like, it was a Lel Shabbos. It was very late on a Friday night. I went with a friend. This was when I was my second year in Eretz Yisrael. This goes back over 20 years, and we were Lel Shabbos, I was in the Old City for Shabbos. And I took this friend of mine, Adam Mermelstein is his name. And we went, and I took him to the top of Shuvah Banim Yeshiva. He's never been there. That, I hope a lot of the Chevra has been there. The most, no more special place in the world. I've spoken about it many times. I'm sure directly opposite Har Habayis, looking down Har Habayis. And I took him up there, and we were davening from there. And it was incredible, Lel Shabbos. It was also very late. And then we start walking down. That's also this big like alleyway of steps going down. And suddenly we see at the bottom these two Arabs come out, one from each side, and they're just standing there at the bottom watching us. Watching us. It was also pretty scary. And we walk, I remember I'm walking down, I'm saying Shema, walking down. And we just walk right by them. They just like stare at us and we walk by. But it was just like, they're moments. They're moments in life. But Lamaisa, for the most part, every single one of us, every moment feels cheres, feels freedom. We could walk around anywhere in the five towns in New York City, whatever, with our yarmulke on and our tzitzis flying, and mamish cheres. So how can we appreciate cheres if we've never had avdus? So I saw a Torah from the Sar Shalom of Bells. I saw a tremendous Torah from the Sar Shalom of Bells. Hopefully we have some bells and matzahs.
Oh, we have a ton.
Okay, Bachshem. By the way, the whole Gan Soilim is invited for Sudas Mashiach, obviously. We'll send out, but Sudas Mashiach, which will also be this year, Shal Shudas. And she was going to walk from Tinek. Okay. So we'll have bells there. We'll have from
6 months.
Okay, I don't know. We'll be left by then, but we'll have. We have matzahs from the Bells of Rebbe, Bez Hashem. So Sar Shalom of Bells says as follows. There's a word that means in the Torah freedom, redemption. The word pidus. To be paid, to be redeemed, to be freed. And he says we find this word in three different places in Tanakh. And through how he explains, I think I have pshat for us, how we can experience the yontif of Pesach and feel the cheres of Pesach in a way like we never have before. So if you look in Parash, first in Parash is Ve'era. In Perachas, Pazug Yutas. It's in the middle of the Makos by Arov, by the wild animals. And the Pazug says, V'samti pedus bein ami o bein amecha. V'samti pedus bein ami o bein amecha. So there's that Lashon pedus, redemption. Freedom. So Sashom says here, this freedom represents the most classical form of freedom. The freedom that we think about when we think about Yetzias Mitzrayim, and the freedom that we think about when we think about the Holocaust coming to an end, and the freedom that we think about is what we're yearning for throughout all of Eretz Yisrael, so that we can again have Beis HaMikdash on our bayis and not have an Arab mosque with both Palestinians who want to slit our throats. It's pedus bein ami bein amecha, a certain freedom between us and other nations. But the Belzer Rebbe says, if you look at the word pedus over here in this pasuk, it's written chaser. It's written without a vav. It's pei dal tav. And he said that means because this is the lowest form of freedom. Meaning, yes, it's important. But that freedom, he says, a Jew is going to feel no matter what. Even if we're in the midst of a time when we're lo aleinu, underneath another nation, we feel strongly that difference. And maybe we're not free to do what we want, but we understand, and it's so clear to us, that I'm not one of them. That I'm a Kaddish Degiyir, I'm a Ben Melech. And they're the Umas HaOilam. And that separation is so clear to us, the Shar Shalom of Bel says, so that's the lowest level of Pedus that one needs. He says, if you look into Hillim, first in Kuf Yud Aleph, in Kuf Yud Aleph, Tess, Haluk Oide Hashem, we sing this every Shal Shudis by the Rebbe. So the Pasuk says, Pedus Shalach La'amo. Pedus Shalach La'amo, I'll send the redemption. He sent the redemption to his people. So Shalom Bell says, This pedus, this redemption, this freedom, represents a freedom between man and his fellow friend. Meaning, within Klal Yisrael, that we shouldn't have fighting, that we shouldn't have machloikis. And sadly, there's too much of that. And here, if you look in the pasuk, pedus is with a vav. It's shalom. Meaning, because that needs even more of an input from the Rabbonu Shalom to ensure that there's no machlokas. Let's think about it. There's been machlokas for the past 2,000 years. The second base of Mikdash was destroyed because of Sinas Chinim, and we're still yearning for Geula, seemingly because we still have this machlokas. And look around. Look at Klal Yisrael. Look where we are. Lo aleinu, unfortunately. If you look this week, what was going on in Lakewood, I don't know if the Chever knows, in Lakewood with these kumzitzes, Hashem Yerachim, and I'm even talking what was Emes and Sheker. It's clear to all of us what was Emes and Sheker. But that there was, that you see machloikas between the Yidden within ourselves, sadly. And in our Sral Vada, between the different Hashkafas and Machshavas. So we need a bigger redemption when it comes to within Klal Yisrael. But then he says there's one last level. If you look in Kapitel we all know, and these words we all know, in Shir HaMalos Mimamakim and Kuf Lamed, so the end of the Kapitel ends, Ya'achel Yisrael Hashem, Kim Hashem HaChesed, V'harbeim Ophidus. V'harbeim Ophidus. There's a Lashon, not just as a Mole with a Vav, but V'harbe, it's a tremendous amount of redemption. It's a tremendous amount of redemption. And what is this redemption? Sar Shalom says it needs a harbeim of dus, the highest level of cheres, the highest level of redemption for the Eibishter. We'll look at the very next pasuk. Yifdei Zerom Mikol Avonosov. That redemption, that cheres, that freedom, is man in himself. The highest level of cheres, the Sar Shalom of Bel says, and what's needed more than any level, is man. Because every Yid to find freedom within himself. To not be bound by our desires. To not be bound by our taivas. When it comes to society, yeah, clearly I know I'm different than society. But then I allow society to be mashpia, to influence me within myself. That's the scariest avdus. That's the avdus that's hardest to break through. Because I confuse, I don't even know myself. I don't even know if it's me. I don't even know who I am. Sometimes we're not even at peace. We don't even know who we're supposed to be. We get so confused by the world that we live in, by the pressures of society. A lot of the chevra was recently of the last year learning in Eretz Yisrael. And for that time often, there's such clarity on some level. And then I come back to America, not home, chas v'shalom, people are coming home. Coming home, right? Like when Carmelo came home. We're not coming home. You were home. You came back. You came back to your mishpacha. You came back to your house. You came back to the beautiful things that you have here, and there's reason that you were here, that you're here for Pesach, to be with your mishpacha. And that wasn't the wrong decision. As long as temporarily, you know, meaning then get back. But your home, our home is in Eretz Yisrael. But then we come back here, and we're surrounded by different influences, and different pressures, and feelings, and understandings. And I start to even forget who I really am, and who I'm supposed to be, and I get confused. And I feel no cheres within myself. The Sashom of Bells is the biggest redemption that we need from the Eibishter, is to find ourselves, to be free within ourselves. And that's what we can attain on Lel Seder. We're sitting Lel Seder, and we're remembering all that the Rabban Shalom did for us and does for us. And we sit with our Meshpacha, and it's all Ruchnias, and it's all Kedusha. The same family that maybe the rest of the year is the Chveis Nish talking about the Islanders some TV Israeli show, because that's what they're watching. That same family, Lel Seder, we're talking about Amuna. Lel Seder, we're talking about Yetzias Mitzrayim. Lel Seder, we're talking about Aliyah Navi. Lel Seder, we're waiting for every kid to say Manish Tana Laila Vemikol Halelos and want to know about Yiddishkeit. Lel Seder, every child, we want to hear the Torah for them that they heard that week in Yeshiva and the week before in Yeshiva. Lel Seder, it's all Kedusha, it's all Ruchnias. And that's the emes, and that's who we want to be, and that's who we're supposed to be. And for one night a year, every Yiddish mishpacha is there, and is free, has pedus within oneself, and I feel it, and I know it, and I know this is real, and it's true. You know, when else do we feel that, maybe during the year? You know when else we feel that during the year? When else we know that, when you get to know yourself, maybe more than any other time in the year? So Vad, I know a lot of the chevers think in Purim. But it's true, but I was going to go first to Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur and Purim, as we all know, is one. We're not going to give over the Yid HaKadosh right now, but Yom Kippur, also, every Yid, even the most secular of Jews, is going to shul on Yom Kippur and davening Hashem on Yom Kippur and ending Hashem Hu Elokim, Hashem Hu Elokim, and I know who I'm supposed to be, and I feel who I'm supposed to be. And I know that's the real me. I might fall back a day or two later, but I know that's the real me. That's who I'm supposed to be. I taste freedom. I taste it for that moment. Lel Seder, I taste it. Lel Yom Kippur, I taste it. And Vadam Purim, I taste it. Vadam Purim, I taste it. All those three in different ways. But that's the biggest cheres, is to know myself, to be free within myself. And that's how most besimcha also, because when I'm being someone I'm not supposed to be, and being someone I'm not, I'm never happy with myself either. That's the ultimate pedus. And that's why it is, by the way, that there are deep connections to Lel Yom Kippur and Lel Seder. Where do we find this? The Zohar tells us. The famous Zohar, it's quoted in a lot of the Svarim. I'm sure Chevra has seen this quoted in Svarim. But we'll read it from the Zohar. Thinking if Chevra went to the mikveh today, but you know, we're Erev Pesach. If This is the biggest time we have to be, right? We had Parshas Paro came before Parshas Achodesh to teach us you got to be Mekadosh yourself. You have to be Kadosh going into Pesach. You have to have, that's what the Yishalmi said. We learned the Yishalmi together. I said over the Yishalmi. I'm not going to ask who went to the mikveh today, but I don't know what, everyone has different shitas. I don't know why anyone has any other shitas, but there are different shitas out there for some reason by people about going to mikveh, not going to mikveh. Again, I only understand one of those sides. But Lemaisa, tomorrow, you tell me you're not going to go to mikveh before you go to your Seder? You're not going to go to mikveh before we're makriv karban Pesach? We might. Hopefully, we're going to still be makriv karban Pesach. You're not going to go to mikveh tomorrow. You're going to really show up to your Seder without going to the mikveh? The audacity of a yid could show up to the Seder without going to the mikveh? And if you're uncomfortable, whatever it is, so go to the ocean. It works, it's good. At least find someone, Mayim Shuvim even, find someone's swimming pool if you need. Before Lel Seder, be Tayvel in the mikveh, Mekadish yourself. We're going to see now, Lel Seder and Lel Yom Kippur are deeply connected. So Yidin will, those Yidin that are not, what, they'll say, Yom Kippur, Erev Yom Kippur. So, good, it's Erev Yom Kippur tomorrow. It's Erev Yom Kippur tomorrow. The Zohar and Parshas told us, talks about the brachas that Yitzchak Avinu gave up to Yaakov Avinu. And the Zohar starts out, but who's Zimna? Erev Pesach Ave. It was Erev Pesach that day. Uba Yitzhar Lisbara. So on Erev Pesach, we need to destroy the Yitzhara. Right? Sreifas HaChomet is Sreifas Yitzhara B'Livenu. It's a very Zohar I'm reading. Ushiltas Yihara Razab Demnusa. And we rule over. You rule over with the Shechina, with the Amunah b'Hashem. Val da'av d'stray tafshilim. The first part of the Zohar says that's why there were state. He wanted shtei gidim, shtei tafshilim. The two goats were what? Kenege, the carbon Pesach, and the carbon Chagiga. Those were the goats. The Yaakovina was bringing the Yitzchak. However, comes Rabbi Yudamar. Ramaz hacha dezamin and bana diak lekarve shnei seirim chad l'Hashem v'chad l'azazel b'yoyim et kippurei. Rabbi Yehuda argues, says actually it was Yom Kippur. And you know what? These were the shnei seirim l'Hashem l'azazel. So first of all, the famous kedushas Levi. Kedushas Levi, he asks, how could it be? It sounds like machlok is a metzias. Was it Yom Kippur? Was it Pesach? Kedushas Levi says by the avos prior to Matan Torah, they were able to live Yom Kippur and Pesach in the same day. It wasn't yet, before the Torah, it wasn't yet determined, it wasn't set, it wasn't kavua yet. It wasn't set yet which days were when. And the koichas and the ashpos of Yom Kippur and Pesach, a Yaakov and Yitzchak Avinu could tap into in the same day. It's a very deep idea. I'm not going to get into that more, but we do see from the Zohar that Pesach and Yom Kippur are deeply interconnected. When do we wear a kittel all year long? 2 days a year we wear a kittel. Yom Kippur and Lel Pesach. Okay, when we daven Purim here, because Purim is Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur and Pesach, you wear a kittel. What is the connection? The connection, I believe, is obvious, and it's this Torah from the Shar Shalom Bells. Those are the 2 days a year when your mamish get in touch with yourself. When your mamish feel emes. When we're going to be Lel Seder. When you're going to be Lel Seder, we're going to be Lel Seder. And you're going to feel the Amunah. No, that's real. That's the real you. That's who we need to be and should be. In the past of our lives, the history of our lives, of the stories of Yetzias Mitzrayim, bring us back to remind us of who we're really supposed to be. You know, some people could think, we're reading of the past. We're reading stories of the past. Okay, maybe my neshama was there. How is that inspiring me in the now? Because the past is emes, and it's who we are. I read an incredible story. It was one of Yechiel Spiro's books, one of his agadas. He has a couple. It says, it was a Yid Yaron. This Yid Yaron was an Israeli. He was in the army. He came from parents that came from Poland, from survivors, Kaddish to Geyidin after the war. But he unfortunately went off the derech. And he wasn't religious. But his mother used to always tell him stories of the past. Stories from the Alter Heim. And Emes was, he was very interested in that. He loved listening to that. He was very curious of that time. His mother was really trying to inspire him. But Lemaisa, he loved hearing that. When he finished the army, he saw there was like some trip going to, like a lot of the chevre just went, like a heritage type trip, to go to see the Mekomis Kedoshim, to see the camps, to see the holy places. And he wanted to go, but then first he thought, oh, maybe it's one of these, they're very frum, and they're going to try to be makar of me. He didn't want any of that. He wanted like a secular, just to go and see the places, see his roots. He called one up, he said, no, we just go, it's a secular trip, come. And kachavi. So he went, and he went on the trip, and he went to the Auschwitz, and Birkenau, and Treblinka, and all the Mekoimas, and they went to different ghettos and shtetls and places. He was somewhere in Poland one day, and they had some free time to just walk around. And he's walking the streets, and he sees this abandoned building he walks into, and he realizes he walked into a shul. But not a shul like that they made into a museum like a lot of us have been in. This is a shul, mamish, still decrepit and destroyed from the war, as was. Feels like he could have been the first Jew to walk in there in 70 years. But he felt something. He really felt something very strong. He had an emotional pull. He didn't know exactly what it was. And then he sees steps in the back, and he walks up the steps, and he goes upstairs, and he sees a bunch of boxes. And he pulls out from the box, he sees that it's chumashim, and he pulls one out. And it's dusty, he wipes it off and he opens up. He realizes it could be the first yid in 70 years to open up a siddur in this shul. And he opens up to the page where it has the brachos of lulav and esrog and tils lulav, dalad minim. And on the page was a leaf from a hadas. A leaf from a hadas. But what blew him away was the leaf was still fresh. It wasn't dried out. Nisim, mamish, she says it must be from 70 years ago and it's still fresh, preserved in this siddur. Still green, still moist. And he was so inspired and it hit him at that moment. And mamish, it hit his heart, it hit his neshama. And he realized, it hit him. Mamish, he was a thinking individual. He says, if this leaf, after 70 years, could still be fresh, so could I be. I'm not dried out. And my ruchnias could come back to life. And it was that moment that he has to revisit Torah and mitzvahs and that he's leading a life of an eved within himself. And he has to find the freedom within himself. And he was determined to. And he came back wearing a yarmulke and tzitzis, and mamish is a ben Torah today. But when he was upstairs in that attic of the shul, right before he left, he flipped to the front of that siddur. And the name in the front was Moshe Yosef Langsman, his very own grandfather. Only by Yidden. Only from the Eibishter. See, the Eibishter was using the past to remind him who he was now. And he got it. And he found his own freedom. Tomorrow night, we have to use our past to remember who we are and find our chairis within ourselves and not let anything hold us back. How are we going to remember this? So we could be inspired on one night. How are we going to remember that? I was just reading from Reb Tzadok and someone got me a very beautiful present. Dropped off a few days ago. It came out with Haggadahs. Reb Tzadok Haggadahs, I think it came out last year already, possibly. I never got them. So I was very excited. It's a leakut from all the Svarim, but very, so beautiful. So I was reading, Reb Tzadok talks about how when a Yid, at times, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us his aura, gives us a light of inspiration, of his iris, but then he takes it away from us. So too, Lel Seder, we'll be inspired. We'll have that light. We'll feel free, the pedus of the Harbe Mofidus. But how are we going to keep it with us? How are we going to stay with that mindset, that free mindset that we've all tasted at times? You know, Chevra, Lel Seder is obsessed with the number four. I'm sure we've all noticed this. I don't know how many of us have thought about it. Mamish obsessed with the number four. Dalad banim, four cups of wine, four kashas. My Talmud Yakar, Ari Mirzov, he sent me a Haggadah this year. Arba miyodea. The entire Haggadah just discusses the number four in the Haggadah. The entire Haggadah. And if you go through this, I have it, if you ever want to see it, it's like, it brings out like 100 different fours in Lel Seder. Like, crazy things we never even think about. Even the matzahs, you think it's three? You think they're three matzahs? What do we do to the matzah? We break it in half, so we have four. Everything has to be four. So I saw in this sefer that Ari got me, I saw from the Hilig Vilnagoin, the Hilig Gra, we'll be ending, right? We said we're going to end with Suds Mashiach. Suds Mashiach is also known as Suds Hagra. So we have to start with the Gra also. The Gra, Baruch Hashem, we have the Gra, because the Gra is famous. There are others who say it as well, but the Gra is famous to tell us every time we have matzah, throughout all of Pesach, Mekayim Mitzvah's matzah. Others think it's only Lel Seder. Every time you have matzah, if you the Gra, Mekayim a Mitzvah. What a schus. Gonna be pounding matzah. Hope you got a lot. So the Gra says, why is Lel Seder obsessed with the number four? The Gemara in Brachos, Daf Nandala, tells us, Arba Tzrichim L'Hoidos. There are four people that have to give Hodah to Hashem. There are four people that have to give special thank you to Hashem. Special Hakar Zatov to Hashem. Someone who was Beveis Asurim, someone that was a prisoner, someone that crossed the sea, someone that crossed the desert, and someone that had a refuah. A chol that had a refuah. And that's how when we bench Goyimel, right? Connected those individuals, that's why those of us who fly over the sea, we have to bench Goyimel. The Gra says all four of those occurred by Yetzias Mitzrayim. Yetzias Mitzrayim, we were based Asurim, we were in jail and we were let out. Yetzias Mitzrayim, we crossed the sea, the Amsuf. We then crossed the desert. And we see a Pichazal that at Kabbalah Satorah, which we know that's all Yetzias Mitzrayim from Pesach to Shavuot, it's all one long unit of Yetzias Mitzrayim. And with Sfira being in the middle of the Chol Hamoed of Yetzias Mitzrayim, in the Ramban, in Parsh Zamor. At Har Sinai, Merapa, Kol HaCholim, all Cholim had a refuah. So all four of these occurred by Yetzias Mitzrayim. So the Gra is telling us, you know why number four is all Seder long? Because the Yesod of the whole Seder is to have Hakaras HaTov, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. To have Hodah. To recognize and appreciate all that Hashem does for us. All that He did for us then, and all that He does for us now. And that's what I believe, that's how I believe we'll continue with that free mindset of who we're supposed to be. If we literally, every moment, every day, realize what the Ribbono Shel Olam is doing for us, and focus on what the Ribbono Shel Olam does for us. How can I not live up to who I'm supposed to be and just be that person? I owe it to the Ribbono Shel Olam, I owe Him everything. I have so much to be thankful for. And that number four, every time it comes up at the Seder, point out, oh, nacha time to give Hodah to Hashem, to give Hakaras HaTov to Hashem. And that's what the whole Seder is supposed to be. You know, everybody's talking about, we read the Maggid, Rami Ovid Avi, and the whole entire passage, it's such a strange, why are we reading from there? Why not just open up Shemos and read Shemes Beir Bo Bishalach? That's where it is. You ask your school child, where in the Torah are you going to find about Yetzias Mitzrayim, Shemos Beir Bo Bishalach? No, we're going to read about Rami Ovid Avi. Why? Who reads that? Someone who what? Who does Hodah by Bikurim. When you bring your Bikurim, that's what you say. To give Hodah to Hashem for the first fruits. That's the paragraph that the Torah said. That's our Torah of Hodah. Lel Seder is Hodah. It's giving thanks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's why also Maschil Beginus to Messiah Shach. Why do you have to remember all the bad? Why Lel Seder? Why do you have to remember all the bad? Just talk about the good. We like to forget about the bad. Really want to focus on the bad? Because you're only going to truly appreciate the good if you actually recognize and remember the bad. You only appreciate the cheres if you know the avdus. That's why we could appreciate our internal cheres, because we know what avdus we've had in our life. Whoever hasn't been an eved to their taivas at some point in their life. In the door that we live in, with Shmir Senayim, Hashem Yirachem, with Shmir Saguf, there's so much that's so difficult. So we could appreciate being free. We could appreciate being free. And then give Hodah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for all He does for us and appreciate all He does for us. And by the way, we see this in the letter Dalet. The letter Dalet itself. The number 4 is the letter Dalet. The number 4 that comes up throughout the Seder. What does Dalet mean? Dalet means dull, to be low. Who's going to actually have HaKar Satov? Only someone who recognizes that they're low, that they're nothing without HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When you recognize you're nothing without HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you'll have the proper Hodah. You know, open up a Tillim. You find all Tillim, the David HaMelech, non-stop, just having the biggest HaKadosh Baruch Hu, realizing that he's nothing without Hashem. It's all of Tillim. So obviously the name David starts with the Dalet, ends with the Dalet, just a Vav HaChibur in the middle. It's all Dalet. It's all that number 4. We have to realize, as we do Lel Seder, we are nothing without the Rabbeinu Shalom, and that's when we'll always be free, when we have that feeling. There's no ani. There's no ani. Anytime we sin, anytime we're not who we're supposed to be, anytime we're a slave to desires and to society, that's what it's about, ani. But anyone who's not free, it's really connected already to the Chet Eitz Hadas. The Chet Eitz Hadas brought Irv of Tov V'Ra, right? As the Nefesh HaChayim explained. It had a synthesis of good and bad, and that's why we're so confused and we can't just feel free. What happened by Chet Eitz Hadas? So listen to this pasuk. This is a famous idea. In Parak Gimel, pasuk Yigimel, Bereishis. Vayomer Hashem Elokim Le'isha Mazos Asis. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Chava, what did you do? Vatoyimer Isha Hanochash Hishiani Va'oichel. The Nochash seduced me and I ate. But if you look at the Isios Hishiani seduced me, if you look at those letters that he deceived me, it also says Yesh Ani. Hishiani is Yesh Ani. There is I. If I'm completely subservient to the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, because I realize I'm dull, that number, right, Dalet, the 4, so I'm going to and give Hodot Hashem for everything He does, there's no Ani anymore. Shiani is Yesh Ani. The Ravid, the tremendous Ravid, the Ravid says if you take Adnas, Aleph, Dalet, Nun, Yud, and Shakai, those two Shemos of Hashem, so it's Hashem, it's all Hashem, it's just different manifestations of Hashem. But if you pull out the Dalet from those two names have a Dalet. You pull out the Dalet, what are you left with? If you pull out the Dalet from Aleph Dalet Nun Yud, what are you left with? Ani. And you pull out the Dalet from Shin Dalet Yud, what are you left with? Yesh Ani. When you take away that Dalet, the number 4, you take away the recognition that we're nothing without Hashem, that I'm dull, I'm left with Yesh Ani. It's all about me. If I put that Dalet back in, it's Hashem. That's our Avodah. Our Avodah is to realize we are nothing without the Rabbeinu Shalom, b'makar toiv to the Rabbeinu Shalom for everything He does for us. And we relive Lael Seder to realize what He did then, but to recognize what He's doing now for us, every single moment of our lives, and that we are nothing without the Rabbeinu Shalom. And that's the ultimate Pidus. That's the ultimate freedom. And I read another story. It was also in one of the Haggadahs by Yisrael Spira. He says there was a Yid, Meir Geldman. Meir Geldman, he says, is a very wealthy Yid, a tremendous Baltstalker, that a few times a year would fly to Eretz Yisrael just to give tzedakah. And he met up, there was this Yid, Reb Shlomo Dunrak, who was a guy by tzedakah that would be involved, and would give out all his tzedakah, and he'd meet with him, and this Rav, Rav Shlomo, would tell him all the different people that he wants him to support, and he'd write check after check after check after check, and in one night, just write checks, all of Yerushalayim. When he finished that night, Meir, he looked at Rav Shlomo, he said to him, you know, let's go to Davin and to Kaisel now. We have all these Yidden you just told me that are so in need. So I'm going to give you, I gave you the help financially, but let's go Davin for them. Let's go Davin for them. They go to the Kaisel to Davin. And they're Davining and Davining. And when they're there, there's a Yid there the whole time, is right by the Kaisel, crying his eyes out. Tears streaming down his cheeks, shaking and crying. And this mayor couldn't hold back. And eventually goes over to him and says, Rabbi Yid, you okay? No, no, I'm okay. Can I please help you? I want to help you. I'm here to help. I came here just to help. Maybe you need some parnasa. Can I write you a check? How much would help you? What do you need? No, I don't need anything. I don't need anything. I'm really good, but thank you so much. So sweet of you. Please. And he goes back to davening, and he's davening again, tears streaming down the cheek. And Rabbi Meir felt, obviously, he's a special Yid who doesn't want to ask for anything, but I'm here, how can I not help him? Hashem gave me the means so that I can help other people. That's all the only reason I have it. Big Yid. And he goes to him again. He says, no, it's so sweet that you're concerned, but I'm really good. So he says, tell me why you're crying so much if you're really good and you don't need, maybe you need help with a chayla, I can get you a doctor, whatever you need. He looks at Meir with tears still streaming down his cheeks. It's very late at night. And he says to him, I want you to know, tonight I married off my final child, my 12th child. 12 beautiful shiduchim. And I couldn't not come straight to the Kaisel to give hodah, to give thanks to the Ribbon Shalom. These are tears of simcha. These are tears of hodah to the Ribbon Shalom. Chevra, when we daven, have, give me. We're always asking the Ribbono Shel Olam, help me in this area, help me in that area, with parnasa, with this, with that. When was the last time we could think that we davened with tears of hodah? Tears of hodah. Yet the Ribbono Shel Olam gives us billions of dollars every day. We wake up, we have the ability to see, the ability to hear, the ability to think, the ability to walk, the ability to daven. That Kosh Baruch Hu created me as a Ben Melech, part of a Klal Yisrael. Then we have the schus to be here, Erev Pesach, learning Torah. We're going to be by a Leil Seder. When was the last time we cried tears of Hodah, tears of Hakar Zatov? When we start to cry tears of Hakar Zatov, we'll always be free. We'll have the proper Pedus. We'll have the Cheres, not just Ben Yisrael Amim, and not just between us and our fellow friend, but within ourselves. We'll know who we're supposed to be and we'll live up to it. We're going to sing that beautiful tefillah of Dayenu tomorrow night. Dayenu is mamish, the pinnacle of Hakar Zatov, realizing every little thing that Ribbono Shel Olam does for us. And Dayenu, there are 15 stanzas. Connecting the 15 steps of the Seder, connecting the 15 steps of Beis HaMikdash, 15 Shir HaMaalos. Why 15 so prominent? So one thing I thought perhaps you could say, 15 is 7 plus 8. 7 is Teva. And 8 is Lamala Mina Teva. 15 is when you combine and you recognize all that Teva is Lamala Mina Teva. You combine 7 and 8 together, you end up with 15. When you realize that everything that we think is natural is supernatural. And there's no such thing as anything natural. It's all the Ribbono Shel Olam, and I have to give a Hakar Zatov for everything. That's the ultimate Hakar Zatov. But just to end, I saw from the Shil Pinchas, in one of the years on Pesach, he says, you know what, Yud 15 we know is Yud K. I mean, the letters Yud and the letter He, Chazal teaches with the letters that created Olam Abba and Olam Hazeh. The creations of the world was Yud Hey, which is 15. When we have the proper Hakar Zatov, which is represented by, yes, the number 4, because that's our dol, that's our lowliness, the Dalid, But we see Lel Seder, it's also represented by the number 15. And that number 15 is that number of creation, Olam Haba and Olam Hazeh. When we have the proper Akar Zatov, that's when we're creating our proper life. That's when we're living up to who we're supposed to be. That's when we're free and creating the proper Olam Katan Shali. So Bezer Mizbarach, each and every one of us, we should have a Lel Seder full of Amunah, a Lel Seder full of Simcha, a Lel Seder that brings Seder into our lives. Seder into our lives to live up, to be free in who we are. And not just for one night, and not just because similar to Yom Kippur and a Lel Pesach, but to be inspired by the Hodah of the night, to have Hodah to Hashem always. To live that free life as a Pesach Degiyat every moment of our lives. And we'll have that individualized Pedus, individualized Geula, until we're Zoicha to the ultimate Geula, which Bez Hashem will be a Karabi Meinu. And this year, Sudas Mashiach won't be here, but we'll have Sudas Mashiach and Shalai Merkodesh with Mashiach Zidkenu, with Elio Navi, with Gantz Klai Yisrael, with Mashiach Zidkenu, Bimher Meinu, Bakarav Mamish.